Scripture reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. And this is just the first of the readings that I'll be referencing this morning. But I wanted to read this together. This is the probably the earliest written book in the New Testament, somewhere in the 40s, 44, 45 A.D., by the Apostle Paul. We will be reading this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. And he writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." May the Lord have blessing to the reading of the Holy Word this day. Those of you who know me know that I like Albert Einstein. I figure, if you want to be inspired, get acquainted with somebody who's a whole lot smarter than you are. And I don't think there was, Einstein is that kind of person, right? But this is what Mr. Einstein said, Dr. Einstein. "There is a question that every person should ask themselves." There is a question that every person should ask themselves. Do you know what that is? And he says, "Because your answer to this question will determine your entire life." Here's the question. Ask yourself, is this a friendly universe? Is this a friendly universe? See, your answer to that question will depend on whether you feel comforted or absolutely uncomfortable. Comfortable or uncomfortable? Is this a friendly universe? How does our view of the universe determine our life? The universe, when we understand it, Einstein says, is so intricate and it is so detailed and it is so in sync that there is no other explanation except for a great mind that put this together. He says we don't even know everything, but what we see is absolutely amazing, especially when you look at other galaxies, when you look at other solar systems. He says this we are in a unique spot. Then you might argue, as people who I talk to, because I hang out with professors occasionally, and they're very, very, very intelligent in their field of study, but many of them are very proud also, and they like to think that they're more than they are. I think that we all have that problem, don't we? But how does our view of the universe determine our life? If we want to be at peace, we will be at peace if we determine that there is a God who loves us. I mean, there is the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. David writes in the Psalms, he says, "Day by day, night by night, all nature speaks forth your praise." Some would say, well, it's just a coincidence that we are here and that we are alive. Einstein has something else to say about that, too. He says, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. So, at any rate, we're going to talk about a few things this morning, seven or eight things, and these are hopefully, I mean, if you're like me and you like this sort of thing, I'd like to know what's going to happen tomorrow before it happens. You know, fortunately, you know, God gives us some solid ground to stand on. And that is why he encourages us to receive the Holy Spirit, to be born again, to be in Christ, so that we can have this relationship with him and feel his presence. So, we're going to go through somewhat quickly this morning the items, and you can jot these down, keep them in your Bible, or if you really don't ever want to see it again, that's fine. But here we go. So number one, the rapture is the thing that kicks everything off. Christ will remove all born-again believers from the earth in an event known as the rapture. And you can read about this in 1 Thessalonians. We just read that passage. You can also read about it in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 54. The dead in Christ will rise. And this is the beginning of this is the first sign of the end. Number two, tribulation. The Antichrist, also known as the Beast, will come into power and will sign a covenant. Now, you've got some fill-in-the-blanks, and that's the first one if you want to do this. The Antichrist, the Beast, will come into power and will sign a covenant with Israel for 7 years. We read about this in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. This seven-year period of time is known as the Tribulation, and we all have heard of the Tribulation. There's a lot of mystery around it. But during the Tribulation, there will be terrible wars. There will be famines and plagues, those are the two fill in the blanks for you, and other natural disasters. God will be pouring out his wrath against sin, evil, and wickedness during the tribulation. I'll say it again. God will be pouring out his wrath against sin and evil and wickedness during the tribulation. Of course, we don't have anything to worry about because there's no evil, sin, or wickedness going on, is there? No, I think we know very well that there is more and more all the time. The tribulation will include the appearance of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the seven seals, the trumpet seal, and the bowl judgments. So those are things that will happen during the tribulation. Now, in the middle of the tribulation, number three, I call it mid-trib. A lot of people say pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, depending on when they think Jesus is going to come. But he's coming twice, and so that's why we get a little confused sometimes. But anyway, mid-trib, the abomination of desolation. About halfway through the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist will break the peace covenant with Israel and make war against it. That would be your fill in the blank there, the peace covenant. So the Antichrist will break the peace covenant made with Israel and make war against Israel. The Antichrist will commit the abomination of desolation. In other words, he is going to do something in the temple that should not be done, and he is going to set up an image of himself to be worshipped. Now, do you ever know people that like to look at themselves in the mirror? They have pictures of themselves, or, you know, it's like, Anyway, that's who the Antichrist, that's one aspect of the Antichrist that we know about. Set up an image of himself to be worshipped, and it will be placed in the rebuilt Jerusalem temple. We know this from Daniel 9:27 and 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 to 10. The second half of the tribulation is known as the Great Tribulation. In other words, things get worse after the middle. Okay, so the Great Tribulation is also referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble because the Jews will be under terrible attack. Number four, the end of tribulation. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist will launch a final attack on Jerusalem. That's your fill in the blank there. The Antichrist, okay, so at the end of the seven-year tribulation, first of all, in the middle, he's going to break the promise, break the covenant, and then at the end, the Antichrist will launch a final attack on Jerusalem, and this will end, the end result is the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus will return destroy the Antichrist and his armies and cast them all into the lake of fire. This is Revelation 19, verses 11 to 21. Okay, we got two more to go. The millennium. The millennium is literally heaven on earth. That's really what it is. Christ will then bind Satan in the abyss for 1,000 years, and he will rule his earthly kingdom for his 1,000-year period. So Jesus will sit on the throne and will rule on the earth. This is Revelation 20, verses 1 to 6. Now, at the end of the 1,000 years, things will be as they should have been from the beginning. And you may have heard me say last week, I really believe that all of our loved ones are going to be there, including our animals, our pets. If you've ever lost a dog, I'm not a cat person, but if, and I apologize for the cat people, I'm married to one, so that's how God wanted me to learn why the other half suffers so much. I don't know. At any rate, but everything, all of nature will be put back the way that it was originally intended to be. And for 1,000 years, that is the way it will be. But do you know that even with that, and with Satan into the abyss, where he can't do anything, that people will still doubt Jesus. And they will turn away from Jesus. Now, these can't be the people who came with Jesus because they were born again. But some of those will have children on the earth during that time, and some of those will turn away. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be released. He will be defeated again, then cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. This is Revelation 20, verses 7 to 10. Jesus Christ then judges all unbelievers. Now, the great white throne judgment is only for unbelievers. Okay, so he will judge all unbelievers at the great white throne judgment, casting them all into the lake of fire. This is Revelation 20, verses 10 to 15, and you can see. I think you have all of these references in your notes. Number six, there are two judgments. One we know when the time is; the other one we don't. The one we don't know the time with is the judgment seat of Christ. It's also known as the mercy seat or the bema seat, but it means bema meaning mercy. So Jesus Christ has mercy, and that is one of the judgments. We don't know the timing of it, but it does happen. What happens here is this is only for true believers, born again Christians, and they will be rewarded for their good works and faithful service during their time on earth. Okay, now if you were a Christian who just took the candy and went home and didn't do any good works, then that's your prerogative. God doesn't force us to do anything. But listen to what it says here. So true believers are rewarded for their good works and faithful service during their time on earth. Or if they lack in the service they should have done, or if they lack in being obedient, then they have things taken away from them. So they will lose rewards, but not eternal life. Okay, and that is why Jesus said, he's very specific about the children. He says, and this is one thing that concerns me today in our culture, and I think you share my concern, is that they're teaching our kids things they should not teach them. And there are churches who even make curriculum with graphic pictures talking to the kids about these things. And Jesus said, if you cause one of these children to stumble, it would be better for you if you were never born. And so there is judgment. There is judgment. Okay, so That's the judgment seat of Christ is for those who are saved, and there we will receive rewards or have rewards taken away from us depending on what we did. So yeah, you might make it to heaven, you might be in a shack, and you might be naked. I don't know. But at any rate, now then, by contrast, the great white throne judgment, we do know about the time of that. That is described in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. And it is the final judgment of those who are lost, or those who have rejected Christ. It is the final judgment of those who have rejected Christ, prior to them being cast into the lake of fire. And we know from Revelation 20, and now verses 7 to 15, that this judgment will take place after the millennium, so after the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, and after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are also put. And finally, a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Christ will then, after the millennium and after the judgments, he will then usher in a new heaven and a new earth and the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is the eternal dwelling place of all true believers. There will be no more sin, no more sorrow, or death. This is, and you can read about this in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Now, there's a whole lot of details in here, and the scriptures corroborate each other. They some would say, well, how can that be? Well, it's the same way that when Jesus came, people were looking at Psalm 2 and they were looking at Daniel and they were seeing this overcoming king coming as the Messiah, right? But this guy in Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant, they said, well, that's, we don't know what that's about. But that was also the Messiah. We know that Jesus came. He is a conquering king, but he is not a king of this world. He is a king of the next world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this earth, as he responded to Pilate. So, brothers and sisters, I share with you this knowledge because it is very seldom given. It's not easily understood, and we cannot fully understand it. But I believe it is good to be exposed to these things and to see what the Bible does say. And going back to Mr. Einstein, is this a friendly universe? I would ask you the question, do we serve a friendly God? Oh, yeah. Are there going to be hardships and hard times? Yes. But he has written the story, and he tells us that the ending is great for those who love him. The love of the Lord compels me to do what I do. And I love sharing with you, and I hope that today, although it's been maybe a little more on the professorial side, more of a Professor John than Pastor John, I hope that maybe you tuck this away in your Bible. But the end of the story is this, that Jesus loves us, that God loves us, and he has taken every little detail to make sure that we are well taken care of in the future. And all we need to do is to receive Christ as our Savior, to receive the Holy Spirit, and to be born again. Or as the Apostle Paul says, to be in Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, all of your promises are beautiful. Your love is amazing. And Lord, help us to be in conversation with each other. Help us to share with each other our understandings and our doubts so that we may be lifted up, so that we may see with new eyes and feel in our hearts the love and compassion that you have for us. There are terrible things that are going to happen on the earth, but we know that you are there, and you have promised to be with us even to the end of the age. And that is what we're talking about, the end times this morning. And so, Lord, remind us in our hearts and give us, I pray, and I know you will, give us all peace and hope and love when we seek it, when we ask you for it. There is no good gift that you will not keep from us. And so we thank you. And all God's people said, Amen.